الله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واللاتي يأتين الفاحشة من نسائكم فاستشهدوا عليهن أربعة منكم فإن شهدوا فأمسكوهن في البيوت حتى يتوفاهن الموت أو يجعل الله لهن سبيلا. واللذان يأتيانها منكم فآذوهما فإن تابا وأصلحا فأعرضوا عنهما إن الله كان توابا رحيما. And the women who are guilty of lewdness, then take for evidence four reliable men amongst you. If they do testify, then confine these women to their homes until death overtakes them, or Allah Ta'ala ordains a way out for them. Similarly, for those two men who are guilty of lewdness, then punish them. If they do repent and amend their ways, then leave them. For Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving and most compassionate. Lewd activity in decent relationship is about the most disgusting behavior in human society, and therefore Islam has placed strict controls and regulations against them. The married man that commits such a sin, then he must be stoned to death. And if it's an unmarried person, then such a person will be striped with 100 lashes. Then the question that comes about, why is Islam so strict against this type of lewd activity? Really, the fact is this, that when a crime becomes so overwhelming and it becomes like the second nature of community, then we begin to become immune to the evil of that wrong. Our tabiat, our nature, our temperament feels that it's part of nature, it's culture, what's wrong in this type of activity and this type of practice. So with a little bit of reflection and thought, one will definitely come to this conclusion that when this type of behavior becomes commonplace in any community, then the adults, they don't have the sense of responsibility any longer. A woman is just used and abused, she's just used and disposed according to a person's discretion. He doesn't have the sense of responsibility of children, of taking care of a woman. His whole theme in life becomes just a little bit of enjoyment, and after his enjoyment is over, then he just wants to abandon, just wants to dispose that person. So the sense of responsibility is no longer in him. Then with the children that are born from this type of relationship, they don't have a direction because they don't have the type of parental care. So they have no direction. As a result, there is the childhood delinquency that we witness today. They don't show them that type of affection, that type of direction. The children are coming up, no direction in their lives, no aim and no theme and objective. As a result, childhood delinquency becomes the order of the day. Then, as a community and as a society, then it becomes a society and a community without any feelings, without any respect, without any values, without any human qualities of compassion, love, affection, showing responsibility, seeing to the one that is weaker, and respecting the one that is elder. So all these human values begin to become flushed out of the system. So therefore, the Quran and the Hadith has laid down very strict laws and regulated this whole relationship, that if the woman is guilty of this, then initially the punishment was just to confine them to their homes. But because this sin and this evil is such a serious thing that impacts upon communities. If a woman is caught for indecent behavior, then for generations and for a long time people talk about it. Then the punishment that goes with it. So all these are serious things. So therefore the Quran Sharif says that appoint 4 male reliable witnesses. And they must be all male, Muslim, reliable, and they must see the crime themselves. So nobody can just go up to court and say, no, that this person is guilty of this crime. If he does so, then he is going to be punished because the evidence is incomplete. فَاسْتَشْهِدُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ أَرْبَعَةً مِّنْكُمْ فَإِنْ شَهِدُوا فَأَمْسِكُوهُنَّ فِي الْبُيُوتِ. So this was the initial law, that they should be confined to their homes until death overtakes them, or Allah Ta'ala deigns a way out for them. The way out was as explained, married person should be stoned to death, and an unmarried person must be striped with 100 lashes. But the 2 men that are guilty of this type of lewd behavior, whichever way, whether it was a gay type of relationship, man to man or woman to woman, then they should also be punished. So the punishment initially wasn't prescribed, and thereafter the punishment was also mentioned for them as well. The hadith is replete about warnings with this type of relationship, men to men. The hadith says that several people are cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Allah ta'ala curses them from above the heavens. And one of those people, those that engage in these type of lustful relationship, men with men, women with women, and Allah Ta'ala has cursed them over and over again with such curses that one single curse is sufficient for them to be destroyed. In another hadith, it is reported that there are some people that live perpetually under the curse and under the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them is those women who imitate men in their behavior, their dress and their ways, like we see today, that women are dressing up like men, wearing shirts, tops and pants, and body revealing type of clothing. So the hadith strictly warns against them that they are perpetual, under the perpetual curse and wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one is this type of woman and man who imitates a woman, then a man who fulfills his lust with a man. So these people are under perpetual curse all the time. Then another hadith comes to show the severity of this crime, that there are several people, which the hadith says, that Rasulullah says that they have really rejected the message of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One is that man who fulfills his lust with a man. Then a man who fulfills lust with animals, man or woman, who fulfills lust with animals. And the third person who goes to a fortune teller, like we have Sangomas, and nowadays even Amils, that you go to them and then you believe whatever they say. They are saying things of the unseen, that this person did this to you and that person did that to you. And then you have that type of yakin in these type of people, that what they are saying is the truth. So the hadith says they have really rejected the message of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Kahin is a person who says about the future, who says about things that are unseen. So obviously the unseen knowledge is only the prerogative and the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anybody claiming that I have this knowledge, he is really claiming that he is sharing in this sifat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sifat of ilm ghaib, of knowledge that is unseen. So treatment is another thing, but then to get this type of information that this person has done this, and that person has done this, and this is what's going to happen in the future. There is no difference between going to a fortune teller, a kahin, or an amil who is predicting the future, or is saying something that is not seen, and not clear and visible. So, فَإِنْ تَابَ وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَعْرِضُوا عَنْهُمَا. So if they do repent, and they do amend themselves, then leave them alone. They have repented sincerely, they have amended their ways, after they have been punished, then they have amended and repented, then leave them. For Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving and most compassionate.